God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds.
The livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals.
Each according to its kind. And it was so.
God made men the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.
So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them.
God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has a fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.
And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so.
Ah, oh, what a great reading. I like that. So what did we just hear in our video reading there? We heard that God created everything. Plants, animals, men, women. And he saw that all the things that he made were very good. And we heard that he created men and women to rule over all the plants and the animals and the birds, and they were to subdue the earth, to make the best use of everything that they possibly could, so that it could happen just as God wanted it to. And all you have to do to see examples of how men and women have done that with making good use of food, all you have to do is walk through the aisles of your local Asda or your Tesco and just look at some of the labels on the tins in the aisles. I've brought some examples with me. So have a listen to what you see on some of the tins. What have we got here? We've got a tin of fish. What's it say on this? Goes into a bit of detail with this. Tells us what sort of fish it is. Tells us how it was caught. Okay, this is a tin of tuna. Apparently it was caught with a pole and a line. Okay, pretty detailed. Men and women subduing the earth and the things in the sea. What else have we got? We've got a tin of tomatoes. Not just a tin of tomatoes. This is a tin of chopped tomatoes with herbs. Chopped herbs in there. Okay. Men and women combining plants that are grown for food to make them as tasty as they possibly can be. Even our pet food is a tin of Hero dog food. Tells us on the label what's in it. Chicken and jelly. But you know, even the fact that all these foodstuffs, that they're in tins, that's an example of men and women trying to make the best use of what God provides us with in terms of food, trying to make things last as long as they possibly can. Bit of history trivia for you about the tin can. Things I didn't know until I read this. So about 200 years ago, the French army needed a way to keep their food supplies fresh when they went off to war for a long period of time. And the French government offered a reward, 12,000 francs it was, to whoever could come up with a good plan to keep the food fresh. Okay, 1809, so a little way in the past, one French man called Nicolas Appert, there or thereabouts, he found that if you seal food up, didn't let the air get to it, then it lasted longer. Useful to know. And they kind of ran with this idea for a bit. And another Frenchman called Philippe de Gerard, he came over to London and he developed the process of packing food into sealed, airtight tins. And it was particularly for the British Army and the Royal Navy. Now, there were some disadvantages to this. This is absolutely true. I'm not making this bit up. And the big disadvantage was that they invented the tins to keep your food in. The tin opener wasn't invented for 30 years later. Apparently, it's absolutely true. So a bit tricky at first. The soldiers had to kind of use their bayonets to kind of tear open the tins and smash them with rocks and stuff like that. But the food was really fresh once they got in. But things improved, and a little way down the line, having tinned food in your house was seen as a bit of a sign of luxury. So you were well off if you had tins of food in your house. Move on a bit further, and nowadays, I think what we do see is that when times are harder and people haven't got as much money to go around, the sales of tinned food goes up and up and up, because it's easy to buy cheaply and store for a little while, easy to store for when you need it. All you have to do is look over here at harvest time. Often what you see and when people contribute, either for churches or school harvest offerings, you've got lots of tinned food. It's easy to keep fresh till you can distribute it, and easy for people to store along the way. Lots of good things about tin cans, though. They're good, they're strong, they protect what's inside them. You can stick labels on them so we know what's inside them. Often it's got a picture on to make it look all appealing. Oh, that's tasty, you think? I'll get that. So because of this label here, I know what's in this tin. It's tuna. I know what's in this tin is tomatoes. I know what's in this tin is the dog food. But wait a minute. Some of you will already be thinking, I know there's a fella called Schrodinger. Some of you will know who he was. He had this big idea that how do you possibly know what's inside a box or a tin until you've actually opened it and looked inside it? A lot of people debate that at length. How can we possibly know what's inside a tin of food until we open it and have a look at it? Have a smell, have a taste. Should we do it? Okay. How are you with the smell of dog food? All right, that? Let's have a look. So, let's have a look. Got my tin opener. Happily we're here in the bit where it's been invented. Let's open this up and see what we think. Okay. 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 Let's see, okay. Smells like dog food? It looks quite a lot like chicken and jelly. Okay. Okay, okay. Not as bad as you might think, actually. I might save the rest for later. Oh, it's not dog food at all. It's rice pudding. I switched the labels. The label was wrong. The label on the outside wasn't the same as what was on the inside. So that Schrodinger had something going for him after all. You know, what something looks like isn't always the best clue to what's actually inside. We looked at that tin and we thought it was one thing, but because I'd switched the labels, it wasn't really that thing inside at all. And sometimes we can look at other people and we can judge them by what they look like, by what they wear, maybe what job they do, the things they say in church. What phone they've got, what trainers they've got. But that doesn't always tell you what they're like inside. They could look like rice pudding, but actually be dog food. But have a listen to this verse. Okay, it's a verse from the book of 1 Samuel. It says, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And you know, that seems a bit scary to me sometimes. God knows us exactly how we really are. not how we try and seem to other people. But the amazing news is that even though God knows the real us that nobody else does, he still loves us all the same. And he'd still rather die for us than live without us knowing him. Pretty amazing. Now, one thing about tins is that they preserve what's inside. They keep it safe. So that although you can change what the outside looks like I did with that can, what's inside stays the same. And when it comes to us and our lives, you know, by ourselves, we can't change what's inside. We can try and act a little bit differently, kind of put a different label on ourselves. We can act differently in front of different sorts of people. We can wear different clothes that we think will make us fit in a bit better. We can change our outward appearance, but we can't change some of the things inside. Maybe things that we're ashamed of. We can't change the fact that sometimes we'll want to say or do stuff that we know isn't what God wants. The good news is, God can. He can change our hearts so that we want to live lives that are pleasing to him. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, we read that Solomon, he prays to God that he prays that God would turn people's hearts to him so that they'd walk in his ways. And we can pray the same thing. We can ask God to change our hearts, to turn our hearts towards him, asking him to change us on the inside, because we can't do it ourselves. It's easy. Easy for us to change the label on a can so it looks different. It's easy to act in a certain way so that people might think you're something that you're not. But God sees through that. He loves us despite it. And he wants us to trust him to change us on the inside so that we can make the best of the life that he's got planned for us. Last thing. Do you know what label God sees on the outside of every one of us? If we were a tin can, what label God would see? Even if we feel like we might be full of disgusting dog food on the inside, God looks at every single one of us and he sees a label that says, worth dying for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that even when we're nothing but sinners, you still love us enough that you allowed Jesus to die for us. Thank you that you think each one of us is worth dying for. And I pray that you'll help us to see other people in the light that you love them and you think they're worth dying for. Lord, thank you that because of Jesus' death, we don't get what we really deserve, but that we can have eternal life with you. And I pray that today you will turn our hearts to you so that we can rejoice to run the course that you've set before us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.